No one's challenging Ocon for the win now. Esteban Ocon is going to be a Grand Prix winner in Formula One. Ocon wins the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Yes, guys.
Well done, mate. You've just won the Hungarian Grand Prix. Well done, mate.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hameed, my co-host. This is podcast number 897, August 2nd, 2021. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. What a doozy by the Danube. Fernando Alonso delivers win for Alpine by holding subject of the Queen. Now back to Mr. Rogers, the self-appointed king of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Bottas feeling blue, 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 blue. Vettel disqualified for gas. Max will explode eventually. Fernando shows us how it's done. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Man, I am very excited. I have watched a certain portion of the Hungarian Grand Prix a few times, and a wise old man at the age of 40 is giving motor racing clinic to drivers who have a lot more championships than him, and it must have been a great day in the Rogers household and the neighborhood for an all-French victory since, 1983? How excited are you, Mr. Rogers?
I was excited. Alain Prost was excited. The French people were excited. The French Olympic basketball team was very proud. It was one hell of a day. I watched that over and over again. Then F1.com has been playing the Fernando machismo-ness all day long, all night long, because it's the most wonderful, wonderful show of motorsports in the world. So yes, we had a great race. We had great training. We had great crying. We got great whining. Oh my goodness. He is all over the place. My favorite is it was coming from within. I really can't get close to people. People! Nas, this is a great one, and it will be great many, many years.
Yes, sir. Those 10 laps, they are worth 1,000 laps of no passing. They really make up for all that. And I really, really enjoyed it very much. And, you know, so much so that this morning, remember when Pierre Gasly won the Italian Grand Prix and the Canal Plus French commentator went very emotional and ballistic? I went on YouTube and let's see how emotional they were with Esteban Ocon. And of course, it's the same guy. And very impressive, exciting commentary. Also, not in the same league as the Pierre Gasly, which was incredible. And so was this one. But I have to say, man, one thing. He won his first race, Esteban Ocon, in pretty much the same way Max Verstappen got his first win. And these two youths were clashing with each other in the Formula 3 championship in 2014, I believe. And, you know, here Esteban Ocon took advantage of people ahead of him playing Let's Get Physical. But the moment he took the lead, and from then on, he was in control with authority. So very, very impressive win, and his background of where he came from is pretty much like the same as Lewis Hamilton. So I'm very, very happy for him. And it was a great race, but it was like the Jean-Pierre Jabouille first Grand Prix win. All the talk is about people who did not win the race. So it was, in short, a machismo race, and it was, you know, the very best between FA and LCH. And for me, this is the essence of motor racing. And you know, this kind of excitement, Mr. Rogers, is what fans talk about all over the world. Year after year, decade after decade, just like GV and RA back in 1979 at our favorite Dijon Prenois. And I remember when I started reading about motor racing Formula One in the early 70s, anytime there was a reference to any historical or great battle, it always went to Fangio's last victory at Nürburgring in 1957. So we're going through some great times, so I'm very happy. But I have to say the umbrellas of Budapest provided no relief from the rain nor pain for the big boys. So much so, both Williams and Alpine cars were in the points, something big boys could not achieve. And we can all say, thank you, Mr. Bottas. You are a great help in Toto's decision-making process. Do you think this has sealed the fate of Bottas at Mercedes, or was it already signed, sealed, and delivered?
This is full signed, sealed, and delivered now. He's got the memo. He's probably thinking about maybe knitting or crochet.
Okay, well, this is a great day for us. So let's do a brief look back on a quickie on Colli, as I call it. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And Q1 saw the first Q1 exit of the year for George Russell, which kind of surprised me. The Misery Loves Company Club included Tsunoda, Mazepin, Latifi, and Mick Schumacher. No surprise there, and Mick Schumacher did not take part in Q1 after his big crash in F3. I don't know what it is. If he's not crashing, Mazepin is doing something silly. So it's a very costly season for Team Haas. Q2, Carlito crashes into tire barriers after being an impressive fourth in Q1. Nando in top five, ahead of ex-teammate LCH in sixth. Norris second, teammate Danny Rick half a second slower and out in Q2. Really, you know, for whatever reason, it's not happening on a regular basis for Danny Rick. Gasly third, fastest in Q2, Mad Max, ready to enter the Q3 Thunderdome. But in Q3, lightning struck Red Bull for the second time as LCH grabbed pole position at the Hungaroring, number 101 of his career. Remember when Michael Schumacher equaled Senna's record of 65 pole positions and he broke down and cried, and Mika Hakkinen, I think, tried to comfort him. And then I think he had added three more to his tally of 68. Now Lewis Hamilton is on 101. Half the season is not even over, and he has signed for another couple of years. So he's going to probably end up with 120, 130 pole positions. And I'm sure you're going to be very proud of that. A great day for Toto, Saturday qualifying. Even Bottas out-qualified Max, which was very, very impressive. Anything that got your attention in Q1, Q2, Q3, Senor?
Well, I mean, we knew that Mercedes was going to bounce back. I was hoping Max would get pole, but he couldn't put it together. And Perez really needed to perform at his max. That is Bernie, and I'm going to have to tell him to watch Netflix. So, I thought that LCH taking pole was expected and locking out the front row. Let's not forget, folks, Mercedes is still an extremely quick car out there on the track, very often the quickest car. So nothing has changed so much there, even though we were at the Hungaroring and everybody believes that this should suit Red Bull, but it certainly didn't seem that way in qualifying.
Yes, and man, what a start. They say rain is the great equalizer. It can also be the Great Destroyer, and that's what we saw in Budapest on the opening lap. Mr. Bottas was on the Rubinho program. He went looking for his brake pedal and ran into the back of Lando Norris. First, I thought it was Lando Norris who created the whole ruckus. This resulted in not one, but two hits to the body to the Red Bull of Max, who was hit by Lando, and Perez hit by Bottas, which Mr. Rogers beckons two questions. One, will there now be a double jeopardy lawsuit against McLaren filed by self-appointed Supreme Court of F1 and presided by Honorable Judge Horner? And second question is brought to you in part by Inquiring Minds Want to Know, LLC. How does this incident feel compared to the racing incident on the opening lap of the last Grand Prix, Mr. Horner and Dr. Marco? You know what they say, be careful what you wish for, just might come true. Sir, your thoughts on the opening schmazzle?
Blew my mind. I was hoping for a fight between Fernando and LCH. The subconscious took over the brain there for a moment. I was hoping for a fight between LCH and Max. We knew Max was deeply, deeply pissed off about Britain, and he wanted payback. And Bottas quickly fixed everything for everybody.
Yeah, you know, they say payback is a B, and they turn out to be correct. Just in this case, B was for Bottas. And he said, I had a bad start and I lost the momentum. I misjudged the braking point and locked the wheels. I was responsible in the end for hitting Lando. It's not great for me and not great for others. It's not like I did it on purpose. Now, one has to say, Bottas is a fairly clean driver. This is not some Maldonado with the Helsinki formula. So he made a mistake. We all do that. But boy, I just wonder how Red Bull feels. Both cars, wham, bang, 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 thank you, ma'am. And poor Charles Leclerc, he was like totally disappointed. He was also victim of hit and run. He was lanced by Mr. Stroll. So there was a lot of mayhem on the opening lap. Bottas was given a 5-grid place penalty, right? If I have that right?
Yes, for Spa.
Yeah, do you think that fits the crime?
No, I think what happened was so ridiculous. To be honest with you, when I saw the accident, I was still thinking, I mean, this is the kind of thing you see in F3, F2, but not in F1. I mean, everybody knows what to do. It's raining. I was really surprised by that big of a mistake. And his loss of concentration, obviously Bottas completely spaced out in a fantasy world of some sort, because it was ridiculous. I thought it was a little too F2-ish. So I was very disappointed in missing out on the Max-LCH fight. We wanted that so badly. But Max, once he was in ninth place, could really never make it back up. Especially, and there was so much damage on his car. Everybody said that he was probably going to lose a half a second a lap.
Yeah, it just was definitely not trying to defend Bottas here, but it was slippery conditions, and it's just that the consequences of his mistake were very high. You know, you're taking out one Ferrari, two Red Bulls, and one McLaren that has, you know, Lando Norris was the only driver coming into this race who had scored a point in every race. So the consequences are very serious. And, you know, when the safety car was deployed on the opening lap, this is what I said, we may have a new winner. The top seven were Hamilton, Ocon, Vettel, Sainz Jr., Tsunoda, Latifi, and Machismo. And when the red flag came out on lap two, Lady Luck, as always, was smiling for LCH. He was ahead of the pack, and amazingly, we had Latifi in the points. And how wonderful is that to see in Formula One? And so was his teammate. Plus, Mick Schumacher was in the points too. And they say it's lonely at the top, and it definitely was. This was interesting. The restart. Lewis was the only car on the grid as the rest of the field came for slick tires. And I was having flashes of the US Grand Prix of 2005. Merci Michelin. What was your thought when you saw the only one car taking the start with the lights going off?
I was absolutely blown away. There are no communications in a formation lap. You have to make a decision. And Lewis Hamilton, one of the most experienced world champions out there, stays out on intermediates. I mean, I was going, okay, so Bottas spaced out. LCH is spacing out. Maybe we should test the food at Mercedes. There's something wrong here. I've never seen so much weird thinking when everybody else went right into the pits for slick tires. The track was dry. So I was blown away, and I think it was the first time I'd ever seen a standing start with just one car.
I thought six cars was bad enough. But this was a classic, you know. Looked like he was racing the pace car or the safety car, as they call it in Formula One. But it was interesting. Okay, now, of course, LCH came into for his change of tires, and this handed the lead Ocon. Now, let me ask you a question. My thinking was Ocon leading, Sebastian Vettel second, and Lewis came out as the last man running in 14. I just had an inkling that A, Lewis was not going to win, and B, Sebastian, with all his experience and a opportunity to pounce on Ocon, I really, really thought that Ocon is not going to win the race, but Seb will. What was your initial reaction?
I was, first of all, blown away and a complete loss of words when I realized Alpine, with a French driver, was leading the Grand Prix. So I thought that was great. I thought he would enjoy it for a little while. Leading a Grand Prix is a great thing to do occasionally, and it's good for your CV. But I did not expect Ocon to win. I thought Vettel would take a pit stop and leapfrog him somehow. I thought somebody would do something. But I honestly did not think that we would have a historical moment like we did.
Yeah, it's not like that he took the lead with only 10 laps remaining and able to suck up the pressure, but it was pretty much at the start of the race. And I thought sooner or later, Esteban will feel the heat and pressure and make a mistake. But man, he went on and on like he's been there before. So that was very impressive. Now, after 10 laps, listen to the top five in a Formula One race in 2021. Ocon, Vettel, Latifi third, Tsunoda and Sainz Jr., a Ferrari running behind a Williams. Wow. The war must be coming to an end. Now, with damage to Max, this was very, very sad scene. And I just knew that he was not going to be collecting a lot of points. You know, it took him like 10 laps before he could pass Mick Schumacher. That's Max in a Red Bull Honda taking 10 laps to pass Mick Schumacher. Wasn't that a sad scene, sir?
It was the saddest thing ever, but I felt sort of good for Schumacher. I mean, you know, he needs a little break. But it was amazing. I thought Max was so frustrated, maybe, and the damage to his car, his barge board was gone. I mean, it was tough to watch Max suffering back there. But on the other hand, Ocon was doing such a great job. And Fernando was in the top. I'm excited. I'm going, we've got a wonderful show.
Yeah, speaking of barge board, you know, the Red Bull told Max, your barge board is missing. And he goes, part of it? And the guy says, no, the whole thing. So that must have kind of surprised him. But, you know, even when Seb, the interesting thing about this victory for Ocon, Seb was in DRS range and always throughout the race within striking distance. But he was unable to pass him. And Mr. Ocon stayed as cool as Naren Karthikeyan, also known as Cucumber, in the immortal words of the man who won all three Indian Grand Prix held so far this century. Lap 20, LCH in for tire change, which convinced me again that he's not going to win. Max was in next lap, trying to cover him up. Both now on hard tires, but Lewis got the jump on Red Bull Ace. But I, you know, Max was definitely with this damage was not going to be a factor. So the whole thing was around lap 20, how high can Lewis go? And I figured that he will probably, I was sure he would come into the top five and podium was also a possibility. After 25 laps, Seb remained within striking distance of Ocon, but unable to rattle his cage, and by this time Hamilton had moved up to 8th, while Max was 12th and struggling to pass Ricciardo at this stage. Lap 37, Seb was in 3 point. This is where he lost the race, I think. His pit stop was 3.3 seconds. Very, very costly, because when race leader came out after his pit stop, Seb was right behind him. And guess who was leading the Hungarian Grand Prix now? Fernando Alonso is ahead of everybody. Thank you, Mr. Smedley. Sir, this was the first time Machismo was leading an F1 race since the 2014 Grand Prix at the same track. How high was Mr. Rogers jumping at this time?
It was pretty crazy. I had to tape down my Stella Artois so I wouldn't spill it. But yes, I was overjoyed. There was a lot of giggling, and I threw a couple of more merguez on the Barbie.
Did you have any dreams, fantasies that Nando might win this race?
Yes. Well, I nodded out a little bit, and he was winning the championship.
Oh, which he does every season anyway for you.
Correct.
Okay, sir, and this was, for me, the very interesting moment during the telecast. On lap 44 of 70, David Croft asked Nico Rosberg, who is an analyst, why he thinks Lewis could win this race. And this time, I was also thinking, maybe he can win. He's done these stunts before. And Nico responded, saying, and I quote, "Because I know Lewis, he was my teammate." And he said, end of quote, and he said this with some laughter. So they had a talk about this. And then on lap 48, LCH back in the pits for fresh rubber. And that's when I realized, and Karun Chanduk had mentioned this earlier also, and even Carlos Sainz on the team radio had said that, "I think Lewis will make a second stop." And of course, Lewis and Mercedes were hoping history will repeat itself, because he had done the same thing coming on lap 48 in 2019, and then he went to the Max attack to win the race from him. So the team and the crowd called out for more hammer time. Now, at this time I realized victory is possible. 20 laps to go, LCH was 25 seconds behind race leader in 5th place. He has a faster car, he is very quick, and he has fresh rubber. Bono on the team radio pretty much told Lewis, "You are better than the real thing." And Toto also gave his assurance, saying, "We can win this." They have a lot of faith, very rightly so, in their undisputed numero uno. But I guess they did not realize what you, and only you know, who was in the car ahead, the ace of Alpine. And he had Indy 2007 on his mind. And Nando was in the mood to settle the score. And boy, did I love what came next. Yes, sirree, bomb. First we had Can't Go 55. That's when it all started. LCH all over FA, right and left looking for one way out. As Crofty said, it's one thing passing Mick Schumacher on turn 4. It's another to try on Alonso. He became Lewis's nightmare from Oviedo. Did you think that Lewis will be able to pass him within a lap or two? And that's what I thought.
Well, I thought so too. You know, just a quick brake lockup. Anything could happen. You turn wide at turn 2, you're going to get passed. But El Machismo decided to celebrate his 40th birthday by hanging on and showing everybody the proper way to drive a Formula One car, keeping it clean. And it was exciting. It took 10 laps. I mean, LCH had the faster car. We know he has the package. Max was completely so damaged, the only fast car on the track was Lewis Hamilton. Yet, Fernando got his elbows out a little bit, pulled up his knee pads, and I'm telling you, what we saw will be talked about for years.
The only thing, well, that was the Machismo thing. He was holding back a faster car, and the only thing missing was the countdown from the physio. And on lap 57 with DRS, Lewis tried a PK on Alonso. No can do. Try to go on the outside. Race win slipping away from Lewis as he was still trying to pass El Machismo with only 8 laps remaining. And then I realized it's going to be very difficult, but it was because it was getting into a point of he will have to catch Ocon 2 seconds per lap, and by the time you do that, you run out of time and room. Lap 63, there was meeting of the Pirelli rubber. As they say in their advertising, power is nothing without control, and these guys, Nando and Lewis, were in control of their own destiny. And it was just absolutely fabulous to see the very best doing the best they do for a living. But lap 65 of 70, lockup from Nando gave Lewis get out of Spanish jail card. This was what I call absolute dynamite racing. Dicing, racing and dicing. Wheel to wheel, cockpit to cockpit, mano a mano. No torpedoes were launched, no Maldonado moves were made. But damage was done. 4 laps remaining, Nando's teammate Esteban Ocon was over 8 seconds ahead. Too far for the Empire to strike back. Lewis did pass Sainz Jr. to get on the podium. And did you like the mourning that Sainz was doing after he lost the podium?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Sainz Jr., I mean, you could just feel the pain.
Yeah, you know, he is the guy who normally sings the Sade song, Smooth Operator, but his mourning was pretty interesting. But after the race, he will find comfort and get back on the podium, and more on that later. So he's now developing a habit of not finishing on the podium on the track, but after the race, getting the podium back. So this was, sir, beautiful, beautiful motor racing. Any final analysis from you looking back, sir, before we talk about the top six?
Well, it was an enjoyable race. It was the kind of race you want to watch over again and watch over again. I had to watch it 3 times. I loved every minute of it. And of course, the Fernando action was fantastic. And I'm impressed with Renault. Obviously, the package is getting better and better since we do have a lot more racing in this season. I think Alpine could be scoring some more points and beat McLaren to the constructors because of Ricciardo's failure to get a grip on the car.
Yeah, and you know, can you imagine what the irrational exuberance will be when Fernando Alonso wins a race with Alpine?
Well, then we go into a whole new realm of ecstasy, fantasy, and just loving everybody in the world. Then that's called the Fernando-ism.
Yes. So now let's take a look at driver by driver a little bit. Le winner, Esteban Ocon. What a drive by this 24-year-old Frenchman. When his teammate was announced last season, it put him in the same shade as Nico Rosberg when Michael Schumacher was announced as his teammate at Mercedes. Remember, Michael came even not only took all the limelight, but also his number 3. That's how it goes. At the start, he was helped by Bottas and Lewis being the only driver on the grid at the start. Lewis's pit stop gave Esteban the lead, and he never looked back. Towards the end, damage done by his teammate and laps taken off the clock during hammer time played a big part in Esteban's maiden Grand Prix win in Magyar Republic. And he was aware of it, and he thanked Machismo for it. It was here in 2003, the same team, then known as Mile 7 Renault, won the race to make the driver, Mr. Fernando Alonso, the youngest F1 winner at that time. So this is a great day for them. Incredibly, this is first race victory in single-seaters for Esteban since his GP3 days in 2015. And he is a very talented driver because he won the GP3 and the F3 championship. In 2014, when Max raced in F3 before landing in Formula 1, Esteban was the series champion. He is still under contract, as far as I understand, to Mercedes. In other words, like George Russell, he's part of Toto's Wolfpack. His victory is the first all-French win since Alain Prost and Renault in the 1983 Austrian Grand Prix. And it was mentioned on the TV broadcast that they believe Prost was not at the race. So, you know, it does not go to all the races. It was the team's first victory in its new guise of Alpine and the first since Kimi Raikkonen won the 2013 Australian Grand Prix when they were known as Lotus. And you know this guy who worked for them, Alain Permain? I'm sure you know who he is, the technical guy.
Yeah.
You know, he has been with the team when they were known as Benetton and had Michael Schumacher as a driver. So he's been there for a long, long time. And I was watching or listening to some very serious stuff on the Singapore the Crashgate saga, and they said that Alain Permain was also informed of what they were going to do, and he said, I want no part of it. So nice to know there are some credible and decent people also in motor racing. I think most of them are. Okay, sir, we're moving forward to Sebastian Vettel. What an impressive performance. 123rd podium for Seb, and this is before the law came down. He was always in close company to take the lead and give Aston Martin and himself a shock victory. But Ocon made no mistake for 70 laps, so Seb finished second at least on the track. Aston Martin tried the undercut on lap 38, which might have worked had the Aston Martin crew not slipped up, losing the German driver a second or more during the stoppage. Then came the law after the race. Stewards were unable to take the required amount of fuel for sampling following the race, and the German James Bond was disqualified. Now, he should not cry much. Apparently, the team is going to appeal this decision, but I do remember, Mr. Rogers, and I'm sure you do too, that I think it was the Spanish Grand Prix when Lewis took the pole and stopped before he got into the pits, did not have enough fuel sample for testing or whatever they do, and he was stripped of the pole position. Early part of the season, Seb was on Ricciardo program, dazed and confused in his new environment, but he has come out of that slump, and this at least at the time of the end of the race, it was the second podium of the season for Seb. Do you think there's any chance of his appeal being successful?
No.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll be very, very surprised. I mean, those are some of the very strict requirements. Now, Hamilton, after he got past Alonso with 5 laps to go, he passed Ferrari's Carlos Sainz 2 laps later and charged up to the front two, finishing just 0.8 seconds behind Vettel, with Sainz fourth and Alonso fifth. Man, I'll tell you, had he taken 5, not 10 laps to pass Alonso, Lewis would have won this race and would have been a great, great win. So Alonso did a tremendous job for the team. Now, you probably saw after the race, Lewis was looking whether he was sick or extremely tired, I don't know. But he went to see the Mercedes doctor, suffering from fatigue and dizziness. He said in the news conference later that he had been struggling with his fitness all year after contracting COVID-19 last year. So I just hope that this was a thing of the moment and he's not having any issues, because we definitely want him and Mac fight it out all season long. Any thoughts on Lewis Hamilton and how he looked after the race, sir?
Yeah, he looked terrible on the podium. I mean, he was struggling to just stand up. He looked pale. Apparently, it was a COVID flashback.
Yes, so fourth was Sainz and Alonso fifth. Many moons and Hungarian goulashes ago, Nando created a ruckus for Lewis and his team. On Sunday, he did the same and cost Lewis his 100 and an amazing come-from-behind victory. So there is a lot of F1 fight left in this old dog. I get the impression now that his bark is as bad as his bite. I really, really love that battle. And you know, lap after lap, Lewis had the DRS, but Machismo said, no, no, you don't pass me on the outside, you little Ronnie's rocket. You know, because of the fight he put up against Lewis, I thought Ocon will get driver of the day, but very rightly so, it was awarded to Mr. Fernando Alonso. And one can just imagine, man, forget the age factor, how feisty competitive this guy will be if he was in that Mercedes or in that Red Bull, even with Max as teammate. What say you?
I have the same thoughts. I have the same thoughts. Could you imagine if Fernando was in a Mercedes or a Red Bull, how much excitement we would be having right now? All of this because people are so sensitive and don't want the love that Fernando provides a team. I have a hard time with this, accepting it, but we have been gypped, and there's just no two ways about it. No Fernando in a great package is a mistake, and we are given nothing as exciting as that. But that it's just the way it is. But Fernando in a good package would be
the best of the best.
You know, Fernando in a Mercedes with Lewis would be a repeat of 2007 season. And Fernando in Red Bull with Max as teammate will be 1988 season at McLaren. Cutthroat and just absolutely fascinating for the fans. So I think the fans are getting the Isaac Hayes CD from the team owners. But, you know, we have to work with what we got. Sixth and seventh, strong day for AlphaTauri with Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda. You know, Yuki Tsunoda is very quick and very talented, but I'm getting a little sick and tired of his attitude. You know, he's just, I'm getting tired of his, the way he talks to his team. What say you?
Yeah, he's very disrespectful. He's always yelling at them like he's a prima donna, as if he was a world champion. This guy is not going to go anywhere simply because he's too mean.
You know, when I first heard him talk like this, I think it was in Formula 3, not even Formula 2. I was very, very, very surprised. You don't expect something like this from a Japanese driver. And he is quick. There is no question about it. But he's no Max Verstappen that people will put up with anything and everything. Because right now, Toro Rosso or AlphaTauri, whatever they are called, they will put up with him because he's part of the Honda package. But once Honda says sayonara, he needs to be careful. I mean, I would love to see this kid succeed because he is very talented, but with a little bit better attitude. Okay, sir. So then what did we have? Oh, yes, of course. Red Bull. I mean, I know they're trying to take care of business, but it kind of looks like being vindictive and mean. They brought in Gasly on the last lap to get the fastest lap point. Otherwise, Lewis Hamilton had that. So I think this is becoming a theme for the two Red Bull teams, that if Lewis has the fastest lap, they're going to bring either Pierre or Sergio Perez or even Max to get the fastest lap. And championships have been won and lost by 1 point. But we will see how this thing will work out. I'm very, very happy, and I think most racing fans are, that Williams were in the points. Any thoughts on that, sir?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We want Williams to succeed. Williams wants to succeed. Toto wants Williams to succeed. I want Williams to succeed. So, fingers crossed. But they're making progress. The biggest part is that they'll lose George, I think, to Mercedes next year. And they'll probably have another pay driver come in. But George, I think, has helped Williams quite a bit.
Yes. And Nicholas Latifi scored his first points by finishing eighth. And, you know, he finished ahead of George Russell, who finished ninth. But this guy, you know, German guy, Jos Capito, who is now the head of the Williams F1 program, he said, we are not dependent on pay driver. And with all this money coming in from this American company called Doralton Corporation, I don't think they're going to, I may be wrong, but I don't think they will take a pay driver. And because they already have Miss Jamie Chadwick and this Israeli driver as a, you know, driver in the driver development program. But, you know, names have been linked like Daniel Kvyat, Nico Hülkenberg, and of course, Valtteri Bottas, who started his career with Williams. I think they'll be much, Nico used to drive for them too, Hülkenberg. I think they'll be very well off, better off if they take Bottas. He has a lot of experience. And, you know, he is a very good driver for all practical purposes. He is a world champion if you take Lewis Hamilton out of that Mercedes seat. So, but I would like to see this team take a serious driver and not somebody who's writing a $15 million check and can go nowhere. So we'll see how it works. And, of course, last call for last point answered by Max. 1 point from available. Now, this was at the time of the finish of the race. 1 point from available. 52 points from last two races, not what the doctor ordered. But since Seb has been disqualified, everybody's moving up and Max gets another point. So that's good. In the points standings, LCH, 192 points. Second, Max, 186. Norris, who did not score in Hungary, 113 third. So basically in two race weekends, Max has gone from enjoying a 32-point lead or LCH to being 6 points behind the seven-time world champion. And that is not very, very good. Because I still think that on pure pace, the Red Bull, throughout, I mean, at a race distance, Red Bull and Max is definitely making a huge difference. They still have the advantage, but I am afraid that regime change may not happen because of his lack of experience of, or sometimes bringing in irrational exuberance and aggression at the start of the race. How do you, well, you know, we're in the summer break season now. Next race is not until till the end of August, end of this month at Spa-Francorchamps. You still hanging on to your guns from last year that Lewis Hamilton is going to win the championship?
Oh, indeed. Yeah, Max has no chance. Red Bull has no chance. And I hate to say this, but a lot of this is manipulated by Toto. He has a lot of power. Once Christian Horner pissed him off, it was done. When he took those insults personally, it was done. Toto is going to make sure that Lewis Hamilton is going to get his eighth championship, and he's already now leading. It's not going to take much more. A few more Grand Prix wins. LCH has got the championship, but it'll be frustrating, and maybe we'll see a more honest Max who should explode occasionally just to get it out of his.
Yeah, and you know, this talk of, you know, these conversations between the two have gone below the belt and personal. People are calling Marco and Horner different kind of names for their attack on Lewis and this kind of stuff. So long story short, I'm not buying the Mercedes thing that they are not bringing any more upgrades to the future races. I think they're going to work very hard and they're going to come back very strong. And it's amazing the difference their number one is making at that team. And also the difference, the number one on the other side of the fence, i.e. Red Bull, that Max is making. So fantastic second half coming up. I think it's going to get more aggressive and more mean. Hopefully nobody gets hurt or anything like that. If I have any wish, I will be equally happy if Lewis wins or Max wins. Both have incredible implications on the future of the sport and the history of the sport. But I just don't want this thing going to the final race. That'll be just too much helter-skelter for my inner self.
Thank you, Nasser. On that note, sounds like you need a break, so we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, hello, I'm Jean Lizy, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And since there was so much excitement in Budapest, we are hungry for more from the same place. So, Formula 3. Formula 2 was off this weekend. Formula 3 were in action at the Hungaroring. Three races per weekend, two sprint on Saturday, and main race on Sunday. So, first race, Lorenzo Colombo was the winner in race 1, at least on the track. First win for the Paisan. Ayumu Iwasa second and Ollie Corwell third. Logan Sargeant was the highest place Amerikanski, and then came the law. Detective work by the stewards took Colombo off the podium, handing victory to Japanese driver Iwasa, who is a Honda Ninja Warrior and Red Bull Junior, a lethal combination as we see in Tsunoda. Matteo Nannini was the winner in race 2. Also run on Saturday, like I said, he is the nephew of F1's one-hit wonder, Alessandro Nannini. Enzo Fittipaldi, he started from pole position and finished second. Sunday's main event was won by Red Bull's Norwegian driver Dennis Hauger. Third win of the season for him. Arthur Leclerc, brother of Charles Leclerc, was second and Jack Doohan third. In the championship, Hauger is leading with 152 points, and he is also a Red Bull junior. Second, Doohan, and third, Ollie Corwell. He is from England. Now, Formula 2, the All-Lady Series. Defending champion Jamie Chadwick took second win of the season and now leads the championship. All four races so far have been won by English ladies. Ellis Powell is the other race winner and was second in Sunday at the Hungaroring. Two rookie drivers were third and fourth. This is pretty impressive. 19-year-old Nerea Marti from Spain was third, ahead of her 18-year-old Russian teammate Irina Sidorkova. Dutch racer Bytske Visser completed the top five. In the championship, Jamie Chadwick is leading with 73 points. Ellis Powell is second on 67 points. And now, sir, this is a very interesting race that I have a lot of interest in attending someday. The Spa 24 Hours, perhaps the most famous road race for tin tops and very high on my bucket list. Three different manufacturers were represented on the podium. The winning Ferrari 488 was driven by French racer Comme Redugar, Dane Niklas Nielsen, and Paisan Alessandro Perguidi. First win for the prancing horse in this Ardennes Forest Classic since 2004. Second place Audi RA, driven by two locals, Dries Van Thur and Charles Wiets. I hope I'm not butchering the name too bad. And South African Calvin van der Linde. Third place Aston Martin, piloted by two Danish drivers, Nicky Thiem and Marco Sorensen, and English chap Ross Gunn. This race was first held in 1924. Some famous winners include Luigi Canetti in 1949. He later became Ferrari importer in USA, and then also he had a team, NART, North American Racing Team, which used to run Ferraris. Two F1 world champions won this race in 1953, Giuseppe Farina and Mike Hawthorne. So there's a lot of history here. Okay, then we have local legend Jackie Ickx, who came very close to winning the 1970 championship, F1 championship with Ferrari. He was the winner in 1966. In 1985, Tom Walkinshaw won the race in his Jaguar. And I remember Tom Walkinshaw as a driver. He was racing in British touring cars and European touring cars. So it's amazing, you know, the names you see today were active 30, 40 years ago also. Motorcycle legend and Ayrton Senna's 1984 Toleman teammate in Formula One, Johnny Cecotto, was the winner in 1990. And Johnny Cecotto, I don't know if you follow if you were following MotoGP in the 70s, he came out of Venezuela as I think it was like 17 years old and was just like the biggest name for many years. And then raced in tin tops also for many years, especially in the German touring cars. So there you have it, sir. Anything else you would like to talk about?
We're on summer break. We had the French national anthem. Wasn't that wonderful? La Marseillaise. I couldn't believe it. I'm still over the moon on the Hungarian Grand Prix with Alonso, Alpine, Max finishing the race, and LCH taking the lead in the championship. It's fascinating. I think cooler heads will prevail at Spa because we all need a vacation.
You know, Hungaroring is known as a Mickey Mouse track. You know, it's always turning. And I've watched a lot of races there, Formula 2, Formula 3, Formula 1, and other junior formulae. And the track is always turning, right? It's no Spa or Monza. But it has produced some very, very exciting races. You know, remember JB winning his first race?
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, McLaren and Nando has quite a bit of history here also, like becoming the youngest world champion on the expanding tires. That was beautiful. Yeah, it's quite a... This race has been going on nonstop since 1986, so kudos to the organizers for... I've never been to Hungary and, of course, never been to the Hungaroring, but I've spoken to a lot of people. They all think the city is very nice, which is very historical, and people are very nice. And as far as the track is concerned, I am told by people who've been to the race that if you're in the grandstand in many areas of the track, you can see most of the track, and some of the areas of the track, you can get very close to the cars also. I like the nickname for the track, Monaco without the walls.
Very nice, Nas. Very nice. I just want to let everybody know that F1 might be on vacation, but not F1Weekly.com. We will continue to report everything that we hear and smell in motorsport. Okay, and now, Nasser, we've got your favorite part, the musical mondial.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And today, you know, unfortunately, after the British Grand Prix and the appeal that was launched unsuccessfully by Christian Horner and Red Bull, Mike Massey was unable to find our favorite CD from Isaac Hayes at the local Tesco, so he gave Christian and the Doctor a CD from Annie Lennox. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy.
tonight. Oh yeah. Tonight. Oh yeah. Tonight. Oh yeah.